I want to share with you, if I may, a little sermon entitled, Do They Know About You? And I want to read from the scriptures, Acts 4, verses 5 through 13. If you have your Bibles, would like to open there and follow along as I read. It's a very familiar story, but it's one that bears looking into. Acts 4, verses 5 through 13 said, On the morrow, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had sent them in the midst, they inquired, By what power or by what name do you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a cripple, by what means this man has been healed, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, but which has become the head of the corner. And there is salvation to no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to your nourishment. Bow with me for just a moment. Father, thank you again for the blessed opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk and to share a word of good news from the gospel. Bless us, Father, as we endowed with the fullness of the Spirit to do this, and endowed by the Spirit to hear and to learn and to obey. Bless us now as we share together, we give you the praise. We ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, let me share with you this morning, I do not often mix government with the gospel. But there seems to have arisen a principle that's become worrisome for me. Recently, there have been a number of references in our presidential campaigns to the fact that we don't really know who the real candidate is that we're observing. Some people are suggesting that for some of the candidates, they often say things about what they believe and intend to do if they're elected president of the United States. And yet a survey of the past suggests that they have not acted in accordance with what they are proclaiming to believe. To put it in other words, would be to say that they're not walking the talk that they're talking. It's as if there are two entirely different people, often depending on the circumstances they face or the situations in which they find themselves. And we have to wonder if we really know the person we see before us. I don't know about you, but that concerns me. Now, the truth is, we sometimes see the same problem in the church. And that should disturb us all. Now, that's not to say that all the people fall under this description of the church community, but if there is any who do fall under that description, all of us ought to be really disturbed. And the challenge to the call of the gospel, or as a challenge, I will ask this question. Do people really know about you and me? Perhaps one of the most frequent charges and least pleasant suggestions and accusations revealed against the church today is that it's full of hypocrites. Have you ever heard of that? Well, I don't want to go to that church. Why, it's full of hypocrites. Well, pray tell, where should hypocrites be but in church? And if you're not a hypocrite and you go, who knows, you may somehow taint the church. So be careful what you say about the church and hypocrites. Now, often you have heard someone say, "Oh, I know that person. Why? He or she is a saint on Sunday, but they're sinners from Monday through Saturday." That may be the reason why so many people have a hard time knowing who to believe when it comes to hearing things or seeing things spiritual. So many people seem to say one thing. They say one thing, but they live another. A lot of folks look pretty good in church, but you would hardly recognize them at other times and other places. And I believe we would be less than honest if we did not concur that indeed, in many instances, this is the truth about the church community today. Now, most of you know what a hypocrite is, don't you? Sure you do. The word hypocrite comes from the Greek word hypokrasis, which means literally an actor or a stage player, and perhaps a better word would be a pretender. And much of the charge against the church today is based on the fact that those outside the church, and there are some inside the church, who see a lot of people who appear to be only pretending about their spiritual commitment, their spiritual lives. It is known that in some cases there are a lot of people who use the church to acquire a form of religiosity to be seen by others. They want to be seen as people of piety, but they're not necessarily so. But in reality, their lives don't hold up consistently with the claims that they make about belonging to the church or the family of God. They're seen as pretenders, play actors, hypocrites. Now, let me ask some questions, personal questions of us this morning. One is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and your relationship to the church, is it real? And the other question is simply this. Do people know about the real you? Now, as we ponder these questions this morning, let me suggest, if you will, three things that are not present, in a pretending hypocritical person. In our scripture lesson, we find a group of men who have come under the persuasive insurance of the power of God in their lives to the extent that there's been a notable change in their lives and in their lifestyles. Perhaps a more honest account of these men's lives could not have been given. Notice from our scripture lesson that when they, that is the rulers, the scribes, the elders, along with the high priests and those of the priestly family, the Bible says that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they understood that they were uneducated, common men, and that they wondered and they noticed, they recognized that these men had been with Jesus. Now, the first thing we find in these, we do not find in a pretender or hypocrite, is unfeigned loyalty that they had to the Lord. Now listen to that, unfeigned loyalty that they had to their Lord. Notice what we see here. These men had come under the persuasive power of the Lord of life and made no difference where they were. Wherever they were being loyal to their Lord. Here we find them in the court of Annas the high priest. And these men of the court were men in much power, men who sat in judgment, and therefore in those days, men to be feared, especially for those who were espousing some kind of a doctrine about a man named Jesus being raised from the dead. But as we look at these men, we cannot help but notice this. This did not dampen their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ at all. In fact, everywhere we see these men in the Scripture, they are being loyal to the Lord. In Acts 3, we find them before the temple speaking with a man who had been lame for some time. Peter and John were going into the temple to pray, and they happened to come upon this man who was begging alms at the gate of the temple. And the man was asking alms, says, "Please give me some help." And Peter looked at him and he says, "I don't have any alms. But what I have, I'll give to you." And that was healing. Peter, looking into the expectant eyes of the lame man, said, "I have no silver, no gold, but I give you, I have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Oh, it seems evident that Peter had the gift of healing, but even in that, he gave credit to the glory of his Lord. That is, in the name of Jesus, walk. In the name of Jesus, not Peter, in the name of Jesus, walk. Later in the fourth chapter in which we're studying it this morning, we find this same unfeigned loyalty coming through. After these of the, or rather those of the high court had heard Peter's testimony, the court recessed a little bit, wanted to talk this over. And then they brought Peter and John in and they told them simply this: "We are charging you not to preach at all in the name of Jesus. More." Well, listen to Peter. Listen to Peter now. Without backing down one bit, Peter replied to the charge, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot help but speak what we have seen and heard." Note for just a moment that they were not going to be persuaded to go against the Lord. Not for one moment would they agree to follow a man's command rather than God's when it was in opposition to God's command. These were men showing unfeigned loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ wherever they were, because they were men who had been with Jesus. Now, to compare this change in their lives, we have only to look at them before they had truly experienced this life transformation power, transforming power of Christ's love in their lives. Of course, the greatest evidence of the lost loyalty was when Peter denied the Lord three times. Remember that? When they were in the court of Pilate, and Peter was sitting with some of the servants, whatever it was, warming his hands. Someone looked at him and says, "Oh, you're with him." And Peter said, "No, I wasn't with him." In a few minutes, someone said, "Oh yeah, I saw you were with him. I don't even know the man. What are you talking about?" And we find that he denied the Lord three times because he knew that if he said, "Yes, I know Jesus," I will suffer the same fate that Jesus is going through. And he knew he didn't want that. But look here in Acts, it didn't matter where he was. Remember that all the disciples had fled when Jesus was seized by Pilate's men. But not Peter, not now. Now, he and the others were showing unfeigned loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you can see why these people were amazed. That is the court. They could tell these people, these men, had been with Jesus. And that, my friends, made a difference in their lives. There was something special, something unique about these men. Now, again, this is not the kind of thing that you will find in a pretentious hypocrite. It's not there, that unfeigned loyalty to the Lord. But secondly, not only do we find unfeigned loyalty being shown these men, which would not be found in the pretender or the hypocrite, we also find unequal power in the lives of these men. When the spokesman of the high priest questioned Peter and others, they inquired of them, "Well, by what name and what power do you do this?" And the Bible makes one of the most revealing statements about the power these men were experiencing. He says, "Then Peter," and he says, "filled with the Holy Ghost." That is the source of power to do what he was doing. Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he said to them, "Be it known to you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God has raised from the dead, by him This man is standing before you well. Now, why did these men of the high court recognize these men had been with Jesus? It was because of the power by which they were living. Notice the power these men had in their lives. In the face of persecution, prison, and privation, they worked under the power of God. My friends, it was God's power that they strongly condemned those who had openly crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. You must try to grasp what was going on, that Peter would openly accuse this court of crucifying Jesus. It was by God's power that they rebuked those of the high priest council because they had rejected the Lord Jesus whom God had sent to them. It was by the power of God that they gave witness to Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior of all men, before these men could bring harm against them. In Acts 12, what did he say? Before a Roman court who worship who knows how many gods, Peter says, there is no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What do you think that must have done to the Roman court in saying all the gods that you're worshiping are nothing? Only Jesus is the true God. You see, when a person shows unfeigned loyalty and unequal power to witness in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, you can be sure that person is not a pretender. That person is not a hypocrite. He won't be acting Christian. There will be evidence of a genuine change in the life that people will know without a doubt that that person has been with Jesus. And it will be evidence in no matter where they are, no matter what they might be doing. These men were someone special. They were really unique. Perhaps that something special is summed up in the old saying, fame is a vapor. Popularity is an accident. Riches take wings. Those who cheer today may curse tomorrow. Only one thing will endure, and that's character. You know, there can be little doubt that the unequaled power in the lives of these men was due to the transformed character of these men who had been with Jesus. My friends, you won't find that kind of unequal power based on this kind of strong Christian character in the lives of pretenders and hypocrites. It just won't be there. But thirdly, a person who is a hypocrite and a pretender will not only not have unfeigned loyalty wherever they may be, or unequal power demonstrated through his or her life, but he will not have unprecedented love in his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the best example of love that I could come up with is the Lord Jesus himself. No matter where he was, no matter with whom he was, he always projected his love for his Father God and to those who were around him. His love was so great for the Father and those around him that he never once wavered in his commitment to the Father. Nothing could deter that love. Nothing could come between him and his love for the Father and those around him. In this unprecedented love, we find the specific marks of unfeigned loyalty and unequal power to do God's will and remain true to his Father. But in other words, Jesus made it a point to never deny that he was the Son of God. He never let his love and affection sway from their central focus. This is a true unfeigned loyalty. It's true unequaled power and unprecedented love for his Father. Let's try to understand for a moment the action and the import of this thing. How would you feel? How would you feel if you saw your wife or your husband or your fiance, your boyfriend, girlfriend giving their affections to someone else and not you. Well, I suspect there'd be a lot of jealousy, don't you? There'd be an awful lot of hurt, a great deal of anger. There might even be some revenge in those kinds of things. And yet, that's essentially the same relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus. We are married to Him. He is the groom. We are the bride. We are one with Him. Don't you know sometime how, and I wonder about this, but I think it's true. The Lord must really hurt when He sees us giving our affections to someone or something other than Himself. That must hurt the Lord and God the Father. And then what's probably worse is that we try to justify our disloyalties rather than admitting to Him that we have not acted with that unprecedented love toward him that He's shown to us. And what that says to us is that we often become pretenders, or better, hypocrites, because we're play-acting in our relationship with Him. Where is the unfeigned loyalty and the unprecedented love that should be in each of us? Do we have it? I'm reminded of a story, and it's humorous to me, and I think that illustrates well the unwavering loyalty and love that we should embrace in each of our lives. Maybe you heard the story about the fella. He fell in love with the opera singer. Oh, he hardly knew her, since his only view of her was through binoculars, and that was from the third balcony up. But he was convinced, bless his heart, that he could live happily ever after married to a voice like that. And so he scarcely noticed that she was considerably older than he was, and she walked with a slight limp. Anyway, her mezzo-soprano voice would take them through whatever might come. And so after a whirlwind romance and a hurry-up ceremony, they were off on their honeymoon together. As she began to prepare for their first night together, as he watched his chin drop to his chest, she plucked out her glass eye and plopped it in a container on the nightstand. She pulled off a wig and ripped off her false eyelashes. She yanked out her dentures. She unstrapped her artificial leg and smiled at him as she slipped off her glasses and hid her hearing aid. Stunned and horrified, he gasped, "For goodness sakes, woman, sing. Sing! Sing!" Now that's glorious. That's unprecedented love, I guarantee you. I guess the big question for us today is, and I'm not being condemnatory about this, I really think this is a problem with us sometimes. What do people really know about us as far as our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ goes? Do they know that we are not pretenders in our relationship to our Lord? Do they know that we have that unfeigned loyalty? Do they know that we have that unequal power to be great witnesses for God and for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do they really know that about us? Do they know that we are people that have unprecedented love for our Lord? Love that would cause us to consistently want to do and be in His will. Now we know that God has made all of these things possible for us. Things that we should have in our lives that you will never see in the life of a hypocrite or a pretender. The question this morning is simply this. What do people really know about us? Do we have these gifts from God because we belong to Him? Are they evident in our daily lives? That unfeigned love, that unequal power, that unprecedented love. What do people really know about you and about me? What do they really know about you? Let us pray. Well, I know it's hard sometimes to answer the question like that, because we have to take just a moment and search our souls a little bit to see just where we are. Lord, we're good people. Sometimes we may let down a little bit. And we become something that we're not supposed to become. And we don't have all those things in our lives and do all those things in our lives that we ought to do because we're pretending. Father, draw us near now. Help us to do a little soul searching. Have your way with us so that we will have indeed that unfeigned loyalty, that unequal power, and above all, that unprecedented love for you and for each other. May we be genuine Christian disciples. And so in all things, give praise and glory to your name. For we ask it in the name of the Lord and for his sake. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 371.